Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
We have breaking news from New York City concerning the future of Pale Mail. If you don't know who Pale Mail is, you will shortly. And for those of you who do, and that is all of my regular listeners, there's great news. Pale Mail has regained his right to live on the 12th floor of the 927 penthouse in Uptown New York. In a moment, we talk with David Miller with National Audubon, who was there and helped negotiate the agreement. Will Pale Mail return? We'll find out when we return here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
It was 9 days ago, on a drizzly day in New York City, that a small act by some very powerful people got the attention of the entire world. The board of directors of the 927 Co-op voted to remove the legendary nest of one of New York City's stellar celebrities, Pale Mail. Now, Pale Mail, the red-tailed hawk, was known world round for his peaceful perch in amongst the towers of power, 12 stories above Central Park. For 12 years, he thrilled onlookers and launched 23 new little hawks into the city with his mates. The small act of removing his nest brought thousands into the streets, made headline news around the world, and did more to celebrate the wonder of the wild creatures than any recent event. Last week, I talked with Lincoln Kareem, who has been the single most notable champion of Pale Mail. I'm sorry to report that Lincoln was arrested Tuesday evening during a demonstration. I hope we can learn about Lincoln and more about the future of Pale Mail with our next guest who joins us now, David Miller, Executive Director of the New York Chapter of the National Audubon. Welcome, David.
Welcome. Thank you.
You know, I think you've got an announcement.
Yes, I do. I do have a very exciting announcement, and it's a great day for Pale Mail, and it's also a great day for the spirit of New York. We've reached an agreement, the Audubon Society and the Building Association and Board, to move forward and restore the spikes on the building for Pale Mail, so Pale Mail and Lola can move forward in rebuilding their nest. This is just a great victory, and it's coming together of all New Yorkers of all walks of life that cared so much about Pale Mail, and it's also doing it in a way that represents and addresses the concerns of the residents of the Fifth Avenue building so that we can move forward and they can peacefully coexist with Pale Mail. The building board is getting an architect to work with them to design not only some railings around where the nest will be, but a form of catch basin so any material that comes down will not create a hazard in any way. And so I believe this is really a win-win story, and it's a win-win story because everyone from New York City and across the country, and as you said, across the world, celebrated Pale Mail and wanted Pale Mail to continue to be a part of New York City.
This has been one of the most romantic challenges, you know, and a celebration of the power of the wild world to so many of us, and it also brings up another question which we may or may not be able to answer, but the fact that some people just don't seem to have that connection with the wild creatures. They don't quite see them in the same way that those of us who love and adore them do, somewhere in this process I think we've made a step forward on our side that the wild creatures really do matter. You have any thoughts about that?
I couldn't agree more. Audubon's mission is to protect birds, other wildlife, and their habitats. And a key component of that mission is connecting people with nature. And Pale Mail was a wonderful example of people from all walks of life being connected to nature in an urban setting like New York City. It was a symbol that in an urban area like New York City, people could be connected to wildlife. People could enjoy a red-tailed hawk nesting and the wildness of it. People from Mary Tyler Moore to Lincoln to local activists and bird watchers and Audubon members to bankers all had a common bond to this bird because it represented something very dear to all of us, and that is we want to be connected to nature. One of the things it also points out is we need to do more and more to connect people to nature. The National Audubon Society, working with its local chapter, New York City Audubon, has educational programs in New York City that help connect people to nature. We have a For the Birds program that's an after-schools program in New York City. We also work very closely with the Prospect Park Alliance. And in Brooklyn, we have the first urban Audubon Center in the country, working with the Prospect Park Alliance and our chapter and other volunteers throughout the city. So this has been a message to us that we need to do more of this, and we need help from others to do more outreach to people and to connect people to nature. I mean, when we think about how this story unfolded, 10,000 signatures on a petition in less than a week, over 4,000 letters to the building, the New York City Parks, Adrian Benepe and the city, so helpful and interested in finding a solution. The State Department of Environmental Conservation, so interested in helping with technical information to find a solution. The New York City chapter, E.J. McAdams, and the local volunteers there that dedicated time to keep this issue alive. And I want to point out, even the governor of New York State, Governor Pataki, contacted Audubon and wanted to know what he could do for Pale Male. If that doesn't say how it crosses all levels of society, I don't know what does.
You know, the message that you've already made the point that, can you imagine what will happen as people take this story and apply it in their lives even more universally to realize that this is just one hawk. It's like one hawk and a mate and a grand story, but the truth is, out in the wild out there, they're all these miraculous beings, these miraculous animals, and it gives us the opportunity to realize what they are and the significance they have to our society.
They're part of us. They're really part of our evolution. They're part of our connection to nature. They're part of our quality of life. Without them, we do not have a quality of life like we desire, like we need, like we crave for, to be connected to nature and connected to the wonders of the outdoors. Central Park is a wonderful example. The foresight of creating Central Park over 100 years ago. Now, in May in Central Park, at the same time that Pale Male's children are being raised, we can see up to 60 to 70 species of migratory birds in Central Park between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. I've been on birdathons in Central Park in May, and no one would think that you see 60 to 70 different species of birds coming through New York City. It's just remarkable, and we need to celebrate that in our New York cities, in our Chicagos, in our other urban areas, because connecting to nature is not just going to the Adirondacks or the Catskills or out on the magnificent waters of Long Island Sound. It's also in your own backyard, in urban settings. Wildlife is coexisting with people, and we have to celebrate and teach about that so we're proper stewards.
You know, I've always been intrigued by the animals sometimes in nature centers and outreach programs. You'll find hawks and falcons and different creatures, all sorts of creatures that serve to awaken people by giving them the chance to get up close and personal with these animals, and it's a life-changing experience. I think this story, you know, it's funny how things turn out, that this really will serve us well. This has been a wake-up call. And I think, as you say, can you imagine? I just have to believe that people in, for example, the city and the park, as you're talking about, are going to start to pay more close attention to the wonders of those creatures. You know, let's talk about what it is that's going to happen now so that we can get a sense of how Pale Male will, kind of what its future is. What can you tell us about the prospect or the process now of restoring Pale Male to his perch?
They are putting in spikes today and doing some other repair work on the ledges in those areas today and tomorrow.
Oh, excellent.
Why the spikes are important is the spikes held the building material, the sticks and other building material Pale Male uses in Lola, to that ledge. So in windstorms and others, they are connected to that area. They were put up many years ago to help in the building of Pale Male's nest. So that's a very important first step. The second thing they're going to be looking for is some type of barrier around, like a rail around to help contain it, as well as looking at other architectural designs that may help with a catch basin. Those are being designed right now. The building is working very closely with our advice, with the city parks and Adrian Benepe, to make sure they meet all the requirements of city structures and landmark commissions and so forth. And so those issues are being pursued right now. And Tail Mail already started to bring nest building material, to be clear, back to the ledge. And so we're hoping that process will continue. And over the next month to 6 weeks, into early February, Tail Mail hopefully will be rebuilding the nest in preparation for Pale Male's mating with Lola. And that will occur in early February to mid-February, and then the process moves forward again for another season of celebration and offspring of Pale Male for New York City. I just want to also say that Pale Male, in many ways, before this event even happened, had become an institution in New York City, had become a symbol for urban wildlife.
Absolutely.
The PBS special has been seen worldwide. I know when I showed my children the PBS special for the first time, they were just engaged with this wonderful bird in New York City and the magic. And these stories, as you said, which is very important, are happening across the country if we open our eyes to see them and we allow ourselves to be connected to nature. Audubon New York has a wonderful sanctuary on the Hudson River in Garrison. And the wildlife you see there, the bald eagles in the winter, the herons and egrets in the summer, the looking out on the Hudson as if you were Henry Hudson in the views you see of Storm King, those are connecting people to nature there. Or in Oyster Bay, we have an Audubon Center, and we have live raptors there, raptors that were injured. And we go out and reach 100,000 school kids a year with school programs on Long Island to connect people to nature at our Theodore Roosevelt Sanctuary and Audubon Center. So these things are something that are very important. I know as a child, I was moved, and I'll say it over 40 years ago, by going to an Audubon Center and being connected to nature, and it was something that imprinted on me for the rest of my life. And that's our challenge, to try and connect everyone, whether they're 125th Street or they're living in Lake Placid, New York, to nature and the wonders of nature, and Pale Male is a symbol and medium and wonderful vehicle to do that.
Absolutely right. So I couldn't agree with you more. Those of us who love nature oftentimes have sort of a seminal experience, or we come into the planet somehow, I know I did, just fascinated with the wild, and it's been a lifelong pursuit, and certainly we're working together on this in terms of spreading this message through the Wild Side News. What can you tell us about how long it may take the Pale Male and his mate Lola to put that nest back together?
Well, it's we don't know specifically how long the nest rebuilding process will take. But we are hoping that we have enough time between now and early February. Really, the ball's in their court. But if there's one thing we do know, is Pale Male is a very resilient bird. And he's had challenges before. He lost a mate several years ago to Avitrol, which was now banned, and Governor Pataki banned Avitrol use in New York City for pigeon control. Back in the late 1990s, and one of Pale Male's mates was lost to that, and Pale Male was resilient and rebounded from that. So it seems Pale Male, and I said that earlier on, has the spirit of New York City, because no matter what that's been put in Pale Male's path, Pale Male has seemed to be resilient to be able to take on the challenge. And that transcends another story about nature and people, and that is the underdog story, and the story of spirit, and the story of really tackling these challenges and survival.
You know, one of the players in this that unfortunately is coming out the bad guy, and that just doesn't seem fair, is Lincoln Kareem, who spent 4 years photographing the bird and really bringing it to his attention. Now, he may have done something that perhaps went beyond the bounds a little bit, but what can you tell us about Lincoln, if you can?
I can tell you that Lincoln is a very caring man. Lincoln and I were on site Wednesday morning when Mary Tyler Moore first came out, and we were talking to members of the media and press about what was going on and trying to get the message out that we needed to have a dialogue with the building and we needed to try and seek a solution. And we weren't here to now necessarily go on the blame game, but let's sit down and find a solution. We want to find a way which is in the end is what's happened, that helps make the building coexist with Pale Mail. Lincoln's very emotional. He's very emotionally tied to Pale Mail with the work that he's been done. And I know he feels very badly about letting the emotions get the best of him in this situation. But that happens sometimes. It's tragic. We'll move on from that, and I'm sure Lincoln will move on from that and learn from it. And he should be not
vilified in this,
understand that we are human and we have emotions, and sometimes we don't always use our best judgment. And I think he understands that, and I think we can move on from this, hopefully, in celebration of the end result. And Lincoln should be part of that celebration.
Lincoln is a good man, and yeah. These were his children. I think people have to understand that. He was protecting his children. First of all, let me just say congratulations on a great resolution to this. We're thrilled, and we're going to kind of follow this with you and National Audubon as time progresses. But hey, why don't you give a pitch for the upcoming Christmas Bird Count?
Yes, the 105th Christmas Bird Count is upon us. We have a number, we have hundreds of Christmas bird counts happening around the country, but you can get involved in New York City with New York City Audubon and E.J. McAdams in the local chapter at 212-691-7483, and you can hook up with our local chapter right in New York City and then get involved in the Christmas bird count. And I want to tell you, that is an exciting activity to do. I will say one tidbit about connecting people to nature. I went on one of the Christmas bird counts a few years ago with then the commissioner of the Department of Environmental
Conservation. You've got about 15 seconds.
Oh, and we saw his first bald eagle on a Christmas bird count. So many wonders of nature you can see on a Christmas bird count.
Bingo.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, David, for joining us here on the Wild Side News.